Last week we saw the fact that God is to be trusted when bad things happen. And we need to keep our trust in God throughout any situations. Do you have a situation going on now? Or just as a senior saint in here, keep on telling me, if you ain't got nothing going on, keep on living. Keep on living. Because they've seen a lot, they've been through a lot, and they experience a lot, but they know that God is faithful. And he will keep you through all things. I was thinking about this lesson because I started to go back to the parables, but I said, I think we need one more week. Another week of looking at going through trials. You know, I know that we have the situation over in Hades, but, you know, there's situations that go on in our individual lives that seem to devastate us sometime. But after we've seen the first part of Job last week, I don't know about you all, but every time I go through Job, my trials and my troubles seem minimal compared to what he went through. Before we read these scriptures, I'd like to go into prayer first, and then I have four things I'd like to read to you. And we go into this, and this will keep our mind in tune to who God is. See, because the question is a lot of time, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do children get hurt in the midst of situations? Shouldn't God protect them and protect them from the thing? And you know, we don't care about the hard-hit adults, but shouldn't the children be protected? You know, who is this God we serve? And that's what we got to be able to tell people. We got to be able to explain, as Peter tells us, that when people ask us of the hope that's in us, that we need to be able to sanctify ourselves before the Lord God and tell them about the hope that is within us. Amen. And be able to give them the scriptures. I ain't talking about just telling them what you think. Give them some scriptures. Give them the truth of God's word. And because God's word is more powerful than any two-edged sword, Hebrews chapter 4, it is able to save the soul. Save from the guttermost to the uttermost. It will reach down and save, okay? So don't cut God's word short. Share it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for being our creator, our great God, our awesome God. As we read in the scriptures, Nehemiah prayed and Ezra prayed. They said, awesome God. And we thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sin, Lord, for we all have sinned and come so short of your glory. All have sinned and come short. And not only that, the scripture tells us there is none that is righteous, no, not one. So, Lord, we come before you, Lord, thanking you for the forgiveness of our sins and for the salvation that you have secured in Christ Jesus for us. And we come praising your holy and righteous name, that truly, Lord, that we know of a fact that we don't deserve anything but your wrath and your judgment. But yet, we're covered by the blood. We're in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. We continue to pray for Brother Kirky and Brother Kenji Williams, and we ask you, Lord, to just touch their very hearts and souls right now, to let them lean upon you and not upon their own understanding, but in all their ways, as has already been mentioned, acknowledge you, and truly you will direct the path. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to look at your word once again. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we look at this again, last week, as you notice, we look at the fact that anything we go through, we ought to trust God. We ought to trust God. We're never to let go of that fact that God is good. And how often is God good? All the time. He's good all the time. No matter what goes on, God is a good God. No matter what we see happening, God is good. Let me just read something I picked up. I picked this up. I said, let me start out with this as we get into the scriptures in the second chapter of Job. There is really no such thing, truly, as an innocent suffering. You say, wait a minute, how about the children? Listen to this. Since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, that's what scripture says, right? There is no one who has the right to freedom from God's wrath on the basis of his or her own innocence. Ooh. He said, wait a minute, how about the little baby? The little baby. Well, they got something to say here. Listen to this. As far as babies are concerned and others who may be incompetent, they're talking about mentally, you know, mentally incompetent, okay, to distinguish right or wrong, it is clear from both scripture and a universal experience that they are sinners by nature and thus will inevitably become sinners by choice as soon as they are able to do so. You know, I've already said, you know, you have, oh, what about my little baby? He's so innocent. When they become two, I think he's getting younger now. He's getting one, right? When they become two, you say, no, don't do that. And what they be saying, this is mine. No. Don't do that, Johnny. Johnny, just keep walking. All I'm saying is that the scripture is true and not us. Yes, we know that they don't have the mental ability to make a choice of right or wrong at that time. But we know that there is such thing as inherent sin. And we know because, as you see, the experience of living as any of the children, look at us, get older, they make a choice. And the choice is usually the wrong choice. We all sin and come short, okay? The world is now under God's curse. Everybody understand that from Genesis 3:17? We're under the curse. The world. See, that's the thing about when I sin, I'm by myself. I don't, people ever say that to you? Well, I'm doing this. It's just, I ain't messing with nobody else. It's my own sin. Huh. Sin affects everybody. Sin affects everybody. It so affected the world when Adam and Eve fell. Because of man's rebellion against God's word, this bondage of corruption with the whole world groaning and travailing together, Romans 8, 21, 22, the whole world is groaning right now, the whole universe affecting all men and women and children everywhere. God did not create the world this way, and one day will set all things right again. And who will he set all things right by? By the person who he has sent to save us our souls, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't want to disappoint anybody, but the world won't get peace in it until Jesus set up his kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, okay? Okay, and Revelation chapter 21:4 says that God will wipe away all tears. There shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. It's coming, folk. It's coming. We just have to trust the Lord. There's others still coming on board, okay? Let's not be so selfish to say, Lord, you know, come now so I can get there. Remember, God is graceful and there's others coming on board. The Lord Jesus Christ, who, listen to this part, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the only truly innocent one. He was the only truly innocent one. Hebrews chapter 4 said that he was without sin. He was tempted like we are. Hebrews chapter 4. He was tempted. You can find that around verses 14 to 16. He is our great high priest who has passed into the heavens. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin. He was the only innocent one and righteous man in all history. Nevertheless, has suffered more than anyone else who ever lived. Read the Gospels. I challenge you to read the Gospels if you haven't already read it. He was innocent, no sin, and yet he suffered. And we got big and bad to think that we're not going to suffer things. And this he did for who? Us. He didn't do it for himself. He had no sins. Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. He suffered and died in order that ultimately he might deliver the world from the curse, and that even now he can deliver from sin and its bondage any who will receive him in faith as personal Lord and Savior. I think this adult class studied about Matthew 11, laying your burdens upon me. How'd it go? How'd it go? Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. So even now, today, right now, the Lord, if you don't know him, he can give you a rest and save you from your sins. And then as we go into the getting ready to go into scripture, with our full faith in God's goodness and in Christ's redemption, we can recognize that our present sufferings can be turned to his glory and our good. Don't that sound like Romans 8:28 to you? The sufferings of unsaved men are often used by the Holy Spirit to cause them to realize their need of salvation and to turn to Christ in repentance and faith. The sufferings of Christians should always be the means of developing a stronger dependence upon God, okay? And a more Christ-like character if they are properly exercised thereby. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. So when we are chasing of God and we're going through things by God, God allowing things to go on us, we need to realize and have a proper attitude towards our God. Now turn to Job, if you're not already there, Job chapter 2. Keeping our trust in God through any situation. Beginning at verse 1, again, everybody at Job chapter 2? Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence cometh thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou moveth me against him to destroy him without cause. There you go. Job didn't do anything without cause, okay? Job didn't do this. His friends were wrong. They didn't know what they were talking about. Okay, anyway. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Now, in other words, you're not going to kill him. You can do what you will, physically, health-wise, but you don't have control over his life. So when Satan went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. I mean, from the sole of his, from his foot to his head, he had boils just all over him. And he took him potsherds, and this is what Job was doing. It was so sore to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. You know what that means, among the ashes? We go into this. They had a separate place for people who had leprosy. Leprosy was a terrible disease. I guess you could equalize leprosy with the spread of cancer now in the world. And it was so much, they had a separate colony where they would keep the lepers at. And this is where Job would find himself. He would place himself right with the lepers, and it would be near the trash heap, the ashes. It would be near the ashes. And Job found himself placing himself there, and the boils must have been so bad that the only ease he could get was scraping them and oozing and letting them and busting them and getting some release from the pain. Okay, so as we look at this lesson again, the angels and Satan has to give an account before God. Isn't that something good to know? See, Job's friends didn't know this. You know, when Job's friends came to him after the first incident, what happened first to Job. When Satan came before God and accused Job, and you know Satan is that great accuser, okay? He's that great accuser. He's that great opposition of God. He opposes God in every way, in every point. He's that one who in Isaiah chapter 14 tried to exalt himself above the throne of God when he said, I will. About around seven times he said, I will do this, I will do that, I will. You hear the I wills? So don't get the I wills. Please don't get the I wills. I will do this. Say the Lord's willing. Then you can say, I will. Okay. All right. Okay. But it's one thing that when Satan came, when the assault occurred on Job the first time, Job lost all 10 of his children. They died. He said, oh my. You know, and if we're not careful, we can be just like some of the people in the world. We say, oh my, Lord, you know, why didn't you spare his children? You know, they didn't do nothing. You know, he lost all his crops. Every bit of his possession, he lost. He lost everything. I mean, you might be saying to yourself, well, Lord, you know, I know you're God. I know you're good. But could you do this thing another way? God has his purpose for all things, don't he? I mean, come on now. I mean, I know some of you have to think like I think. I mean, we get so saintly and we want everybody to think we always think saintly, right? But sometimes we be reading the scriptures and we be saying, well, I'm glad that one passed me by. I know I'll be going crazy, you know. But anyway, but Job, he kept his integrity. How did he keep his integrity? He said, and he rose up, and first of all, it says in verse 20 of chapter 1, he worshiped God. How many of us would go through something like, how minute is this, right? And ain't no worship coming out. Matter of fact, I ain't going to church this Sunday. But to hear him talking, I'm going through too much. Job worshiped God. He worshiped God. Not even I ain't said about going to church. How many of us pray? Go and pray. We call sister or brother so-and-so, you know, let me tell you what I'm going through. Got to have something, so, you know. But anyway, Job says this. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I got a flat tire one time, and I did not respond this way. You say, wait a minute, why are you a pastor? I got somebody else in here can identify with me in something. We didn't respond that way. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The man had lost everything. I mean, if you read through that, he had lost everything. If he had a Game Boy, he would have lost that. A computer game, it would lost. Everything was gone. I'm just trying to bring it up to something that we may have, you know, even to our young people, right? He lost everything. Think about having nothing. Think about what you have. Nothing. He lost everything. But yet he can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so God said to Satan in chapter 2, he said, he did not put all this upon him, and yet he has kept his integrity, his character, and he has not accused me. And sometimes some of us accuse God. I mean, we do it in a roundabout way, right? We're kind of sophisticated Christians now, right? We don't come out and say, you know, oh, Lord, why, you know, this thing. But we say, you know, well, I don't know. In a way, we accuse God because we don't go directly to him. We go to anybody else but him. Instead of praising him and praying that he. So what we need to be thankful for, that all the angels and Satan, they have to give an account before God. They have to give an account before God. Nothing can happen to any of God's people except God know what's going on. You know, we know that God, we always say that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He's everywhere at the same time. And believe me, understand that Satan and the fallen angels, they can't be everywhere at all time. God is the only one who is almighty, okay, and can be omnipresent, okay? Now, from what I understand from Scripture, they move pretty fast, though. They move pretty fast from here to there and here to there. You know, do you think that the spiritual world is not working right now? Do you realize that the spiritual world is real? And that even though we sit in the church, we come to church and everything is on the outside. Satan in the spiritual world, he's working, he's flying through the air right now, seeing who he may devour, 1 Peter chapter 8, 5-5, verse 8, okay? Because we see he's constantly going to and fro the earth. And you don't think he's just walking along, just taking a stroll, just looking at the beauty of the earth, right? You know, he's saying going to and fro. He's going to and fro. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, seeking to whom he may devour. He's just like a lion, the scripture tells us. Trying to see who he can get. He can tempt and sway away from the trust of God and bring them to under his trust. He wants people to trust him, okay? So the angels and Satan, they have to give an account to God. You see that in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. And they come before him. And the reason why we know, I believe that these are the sons of God, are angels, because Satan comes. Satan, who was Satan? Satan is a fallen angel. You can read about him in Ezekiel 28. You can jot that down if you want to read about him. And Isaiah chapter 14. He was the anointed cherub. So these are angels coming before God, and Satan also has to give an account. Anything he do, he has to bring an account before God. I don't know about you all. I praise God for that. Nothing that happens to me is happening by, and God, you know, sometimes we think, you know, God don't know. Oh, oops, he missed that one. No, he don't. No, he don't. He don't miss anything. Matter of fact, the scripture indicates that God knows things before they even happen. Everything is now to God. You know? Do you realize that our death, appointed time of death, is now to God? And young people, you are like this one. That's why I praise God. I say, Lord, I'll be praying sometimes. Lord, you know, I thank you for keeping that one. I don't want to know that. Okay, let's keep that one to yourself. You know, for you, I praise God that you know that. And don't let me know. I don't have to know. You know, it could be today. I don't know. But praise God that he knows everything. Okay. And what's the next point we need to understand? We need God, we already covered that. God has assurance of Job's integrity is by God himself. He said, you done did all this thing to Job already, and he's still keeping his character, and he's not blaming me. He's not blaming me. You see that? You see that in verse 3? You see that in verse 3 of chapter 2? And the Lord said unto Satan, he asked once again, you tried him. He's tried him. And he said, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, his character, although thou movest me against him. Now, how does Satan move God against Job? In the fact that he accused Job. He's the adversary. He's the accuser. You don't think that he's not before God accusing us? Are they at church? I tell you what, they come to church because you're blessing them. They name your name because you're blessing them. You don't bless them, and what? Now, how many of us have failed the test? And when you lose certain things, you forget that we need to bless God and praise his most and righteous name as Job did. Okay? So Job have passed the first test, and now we're looking at the second test because Satan is shrewd, isn't he? And his techniques are always the same. You know that, right? His technique. Take note of technique. He always deal with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, when Jesus was tempted, you're hungry? Make the stones and the bread. Hey, it's God's word we need to live on. You see all the kingdoms? You see all the stuff? You see all the possessions? You see all the kingdoms and all the possessions in the world? The lust of the eyes? These are mine. I can give them to you. You know, worship me instead of God. He ain't gave you everything. That's what he was always actually saying to Adam and Eve. God knows that you can have all the things that he have. You can be just like him if you eat this. They found out, we found out that it wasn't all, that he leaves some stuff out, don't he? He said he'll give, I believe Satan will give 99 3/4 of the truth, right? But that quarter that one quarter he leave out, right? Makes it a what? A lie. Okay? And then the pride of life. He take Jesus up on in Luke chapter 4. Take Jesus on the highest part of the temple, the pinnacle it calls it, the highest part of the temple, and say, throw yourself down. How is that the pride of life? Throw yourself down, because if you throw yourself down, the scripture says in Psalm 91 that the Lord will send his angels and lift you up. He won't let your foot be dashed. That when you get, and once you fall down there, that the people will really know that you are Messiah then. The pride of life. No. The scripture said that Messiah would come and he would suffer, Isaiah 53, okay? So Satan is still coming, the same technique, in the same strategy, trying to trip us up, okay? So God has assured in the scripture, assured Satan, hey, you can try him again, hey, because my servant is faithful. God knows everything. And see, Job had no idea what was going on. His friends had no idea. They didn't see this counsel in heaven. They didn't see it. We know it because we got the scripture, okay? They didn't know that there was a court counsel going on in heaven, and God was bringing, the angel was coming for him to make an account of what they're doing. And that's always amazes me. They have to give an account for everything they're doing. Wow! I tell you, we had a good God. He accounts for everything. And anything we go through, we ought to be able to praise him. Number 3, The assault continues. So Satan says to God, Satan is something. I heard one minister say, Satan is so fickle in his evilness that he don't even know that he's already defeated. You know? He goes to God and said, well, you know, I know that he don't have anything, like, his all material things, his children are gone, in other words, all that stuff is gone. But if you take skin for skin, you take his health from him. And I guarantee you he'll curse you to your face. You let it have his health. And needless to say, the assault is on, and God allows Satan to assault Job once again. And Satan brings about boils. Sore boils, sores. You ever had a boil? Oh, those things are horrible. I only had one, and one. He had them from his foot all the way up to the crown of his head. Can you imagine a lot of boils all over you? I don't like one. One gives me, just give me the heebie-jeebies. Where did I get that from? I don't know. when you think about that from head to foot, he had put it. You say in your mind, why, Lord? Why? Couldn't you do this thing another way? Couldn't you just... Dwayne was talking with somebody had mentioned the fact that... couldn't you just stick your head through heaven and say, I'm God, do what's right? You know, he could do that, but then that wouldn't be the God of the Bible, would it? It wouldn't be the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's a loving God. He allows us to make choices. That would be an ogre do that. You know, I look at these little movies, you know, ogres do that. They just make you do anything you want to do. But our God is a loving God. He woos us on. He woos us on. Woo means to encourage us to come to him. So here's the absolute permissive will of God in verses 5-6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. This is permissive will here. So when Satan, he went forth, and we know he put ball, but here's the absolute perfect permissive will of God, is that God allows what he want to allow, and he has a great purpose in that. That's why I read those four things to you about you know, why does thing happen to innocent or good people? Why does saying, you know, there is no real innocent person when it comes before a holy God. See, what we're looking at a lot of time when we say that, we're looking at what the people compared to other people or other human beings, right? But if we get the right mind from the scriptures, we need to understand that the scripture is going from the standpoint of God being holy. So when you stand before a holy God, because Isaiah chapter 6, when King Uzziah died, right? Isaiah in chapter 6 saw the Lord high and lifted up. And Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the first thing Isaiah said, woe is me. Woe. I'm a man undone. And I live among people who did a lot of sins. When you understand the holiness of God and stand before God, we won't talk about everybody innocent. Uh-uh. Because there is no innocent person when it comes to the holiness of God. Because in order to come before the holy God of the universe, you need to be sinless. No sin at all. That's perfect. Anybody in here have reached perfection yet? I just want to check it out. Okay. Okay, don't see no hands. Don't see nobody standing up. Okay. So absolute permissive will of God. God allows things to happen for his purpose, okay? He allows things to happen for his purpose. There are some things that happen because of sin. We know that, right? We understand it, right? There are some things that happen in our lives because of sin. We know one is in Numbers chapter 12 when Miriam and Moses' sister, Aaron came up against Moses and said, you know, you ain't the only one who can speak for God or God can speak to. They sinned against Moses, and God gave Miriam leprosy because of her sin. So we know sin does come because of some things that we do. And the chastening of God comes to his children, to God's people. They suffer some time because of his chastening, because we still don't do all that he said to do, right? That's disciplining, young people. Chastening is disciplining, okay? I'm saying this to the young people because I don't know about y'all. When y'all get this, y'all got discipline. Y'all like it. I mean, you don't like getting whack, whack, whacker, wacko. You know, they say putting a paddle on the on the cushion. On the cushion. The God made. They said God made that. Then I heard people say God made that part back there, the fatty part back there, you know, behind us, you know. So that's for discipline. Oh, wham, wow, wow. Okay. You know, hey, I like. I didn't like it when I was getting it, but, you know, I like the idea now when I had children. Okay. All right, then. The action of Satan. So the action of Satan, we kind of like went over these already. Satan immediately goes out and he causes Job, deals with Job's physical health, okay? He deals with Job's physical health and he put boils all over Job. And at this point, I'm saying to myself as I read the book of Job, man, oh man, no money, no material things, and I'm sick now? And Job's wife come to him. Don't even try it, Mamie. Job's wife come to him and says to him, you know, you need to really, this is it. This is it. You know, lost everything. And think about it now. You got to think of Job's wife. She's married to this man, right? And she done took a great loss, too, now. I mean, you know, I just thought about that just now. She done took a great loss, too, now. And she comes to Job, and she said, Job, come on. And maybe her thought was, this is just me, maybe her thought was, maybe if you curse God and die, maybe I can come back up. I don't know. Nah, I'm just saying. Maybe this stuff is up, you know, maybe this stuff. This is me, okay? But she says to Job, why don't you curse God and die? In other words, she's saying to Job, she's like the friends, right? It's something you have done. Maybe I don't know it. Maybe I don't. Maybe I haven't scoped it out or something you done done. But you need to go to God, curse God, so he can let you die, man. And he says to her, you know, he just speaks as one of the foolish ones, right? And look at verses 8 to 10 with me. Verse 9 and 10 says, then said his wife unto him, doth thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. He not calling her a fool. You know, some of my pet people have taught this, like, he's saying, you fool you. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, you're speaking of us as one of the unlearned ones about God. You're speaking of an unlearned one. So it's not derogatory. He said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaketh, what shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his, that he didn't sin against God. In all of this, what's God, Job saying? You mean to tell me that we expect good from God and that we don't want to suffer anything? We want beds of ease. We want everything on our rose petal. We want everything. And we don't want nothing to happen to us. I don't want my car to ever go down. I don't want nothing to happen to me. I don't want my body to ever get sick. Lord, I just want to stay healthy. I want all the money I can have. And when I want money, I want a money tree. Now, I'm just saying, I'm just using this because sometimes we may not think this way, but we want everything going our way. And we got to remember that everything we want in the perfect, permissive will of God, okay? God allows things for a reason. And then, and we're already into the adoration of God by Job, but I want you to look at one more scripture in chapter 13, and Reverend Zimmerman brought this up, brought this forth last week. Look at 13:15, Job 13:15, and we'll close with this. 13:15. Job's friends have been talking to him. You know, his friends approached him, and for 7 days they just sat with him in silence. And actually, they should have stayed silent. I mean, sometimes we do that. Sometimes it's just good to sit with a person going through something. Because sometimes the moment we open our mouth, we probably make them feel worse. Because we begin to say things that because we don't understand all things, we just begin to say things. Or maybe this thing happened to you. Is it something that you did? Is it, you know, what happened yesterday? You know what I mean? We'd go to people, we'd come out with the silliest thing, and not knowing that all the person needs is our very presence sometimes, and not our ignorant comments. And I'm talking about ignorant in the fact of not knowing. Unknowledgeable, okay? But we just want to, we mean well, right? Well, his friends mean well. And they thought that, they said, Job, they indicated, Job, you know, you going through this, you done did something. We may not know it, Your wife may not know it, and that's me, but you done did something. So you need to, and that war drove out. But Job still kept his integrity. He kept his integrity. In verse 15 of chapter 13, when Job answered, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will remain mine own ways before him. What is Job saying here? Even if it comes to the point of death, if I die, I'm still going to trust God because my life is in his hand. Young people, don't y'all sing a song like that? My life is in his hand. He said, I will trust God. He said, his friends, though he slay me, even if I were to die because of the things he have allowed, I'm going to trust him. Are we at that point yet? Are we at that point? And understand me now, if you read the whole book of Job, Job got to a point because even those saints of God who are in the will of God, and you can, after the pressure, when pressure gets on you, you come to a point where you say, wow. Because Job even came to a point where he wanted his day in court before God to show that he really was an innocent man, that he didn't really deserve this. And he wanted to come before God. See, the problem is him wanting to, or anybody wanting to come before God to justify themselves. Because when you come before a holy God, there is no one who is justified before a holy God. Come on now. There's nobody, none of us. But thank God for the grace that he has given us through Christ Jesus our Lord. That even the little innocent baby, who's really not innocent, we find out after they grow up, right? That God, and by the way, I just want to share with you, I believe that God, through his mercy and his grace, you know that the salvation covers from the uttermost to the guttermost, okay? So even that uttermost, that child who's not able to make a decision, who's still a little baby, something, you know, children, a baby dies, right? I believe his mercy and his grace is sufficient. I believe he takes care of that. See, I don't know all about that. I don't know all about that. All I know is that if salvation can save a wretch like me, he can save an innocent, well, there I go, not an innocent baby, but a baby who yet not have the knowledge and mental ability to make a right or a wrong choice. He can save that baby. And how about the people with, how about those with Down syndrome and those who mentally, he's able to save them. So God is faithful. And we need to realize that we need to keep our trust in him through all and any situation we go through. Going through a situation, God is faithful. He's faithful, and he can take you through it. He takes us through the fire to bring us out as pure gold. Amen. As we all stand for a moment, the invitation. In order to be able to go, to keep on trusting God, you got to begin with trusting God. And the scripture says that if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. The scripture also tells us in John 14, Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In other words, there is no trust in God unless you have the Son, according to the scriptures. You say, but I know other religions that don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. They believe he's a good prophet. They believe he's a good man. But they cannot believe that he is God come in the flesh. And I understand that there are religions like that. But I'm talking about what the Bible teaches. This is what the scripture teaches. Now, if you believe the scriptures, you can't deny the scripture teaches that. And you have to change it. But the scripture teaches that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that Jesus, to have the Son, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. That's 1 John chapter 5. So if you're here and you have God but not the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture indicates, it says that you don't have God. And people get really indignant about that when you say, well, you know, when you tell them that, you know, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and, you know, if you don't have Jesus, you can't get to God. And they understand. And believe me, people who don't even believe the Bible or read the Bible, when you say you can't get to God, they know what you're talking about. You can't go to heaven. Wow. And they get right indignant sometimes. Who? What gives you the nerve to tell me that I'm wrong? You ain't even tell them they're wrong. You just said the scripture says they convict it. Scripture convict even unbelievers. Okay? And what the truth is. So if you're here today and if you only have God so-called, and you don't have Jesus Christ the Son, then the scripture says you don't have God. So today would be a good day to come to the salvation that God has provided in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross, suffered and shed his blood for us. But on the third day, what did he do? He got up, he rose. After he died for all of our sins, he rose on the third day. Are you here today and you need Jesus? Only you will know that as individual. Are you here today and you need Jesus? Well, today is a day of salvation. Don't keep hardening your heart. Don't keep saying, I'll do it the next day. Don't keep saying, tomorrow is not promised. The next moment is not promised. Don't keep saying, I'm going to put it off if you don't know Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus now and believe in him and accept him as your Savior. Is there anyone here to give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time or the second time? Because the first time you didn't do it. It was a sham. I have to say that sometimes. But if you're here today, the invitation is on the floor. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And we welcome you to come forth, first of all, to share your confession of Jesus Christ. And then if the Lord is leading you to join here with Community Baptist Church of Walbrook. That's the second part of our invitation. If you're here today and you already know the Lord Jesus Christ and you need a church home or fellowship and you are led right now to come and join Community Baptist Church of Walbrook, we pray that you would come being led by the Lord. Are you here today?